And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus at 1:06 in the afternoon. I want to thank everybody for joining us. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our sick meteorologist Justin Storm, who's got the 1-9er, so he's sitting at home. And our wonderful, talented ag director, Bridget Riedel, who doesn't have the 1-9er. So, thanks for staying healthy, Bridget.
Doing my best, but feel free to spread all the positives around to others. Nobody needs to be ill. Justin, you're looking like you're rebounding. We're bringing it back together. Nice.
We're rebounding. And hey, Dean, when you're sick at home, we don't go and say you're sick. We just say you're off on a bender face down in a ditch somewhere.
That's called the weekend. That's not during the week.
Yeah, I just got my days mixed up.
Man, well, you sound like, I won't say what you sound like, but at least, hey.
I sound like, Dean? What do I sound like?
You sound like crap. I'm just going to say it. You don't sound well. But
you think so, huh?
I'm glad you're with us.
Why don't you come say it to my face then?
you're too weak to swing, buddy. I'll wait till you're better.
I don't need to swing. I just got to breathe and cough. Man.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Out. Yeah, no doubt. I will stay away. And I'll tell you, this weather doesn't help matters any. We've got some showers and thunder showers that continue to press across the area today, stretching from about Abercrombie through about Rothsay and further into Lakes Country as well. Then we've got some more showers and thunder showers out to our west, out around the Jamestown area, and all that moving eastward. We'll be in and out of the rain for the rest of the afternoon. Most of it, at least the heaviest, down to our south and southeast. And then we've got some kind of fall-like weather as we head into tomorrow. In fact, we're looking at temperatures tomorrow only in the 60s with a stiff northwest wind at 15 to 30. So it's going to feel more like early October tomorrow. And we can't rule out a late day sprinkle or two. Things start to improve on Friday. Still breezy with highs around 70, but the weekend looks really nice. Highs in the mid 70s Saturday, closer to 80 on Sunday. If you want that summer heat and humidity, it'll be back. Looks like end of next week. That's when the real heat starts to come back into the area. So if you're not a fan of the heat and humidity, get out and enjoy today and tomorrow. Too cool for me. Like I said, our summers are short enough to bring that summer heat back. And I know, Bridget, you want it back for the corn. And it looks pretty good. It looks good between the middle of the month and the end of the month.
Here's the thing. I can wish and want that to happen. But frankly, Mother Nature is going to do what she wants. She's pretty much running the show here. So we will just wait and see how it turns out. But yeah, everybody would like to make sure that their corn makes it to the finish line. And the sooner for that, the better.
Yeah. And, you know, it's now we'll see how many chemtrails they spray on Chemtrail Tuesday next week to see if that can actually warm us up a little more to help our corn. See, so there is some good things behind all that, Bridget.
It would be different if I believed anything you just said in that prior statement.
Okay. So Justin needs to pipe
in on
that.
I'm not even giving an inch on it.
You're not, man. I'm telling you. You're not helping this.
Not planned.
No.
Not at all.
For those who are
wondering other things that could be going on today, if the weather's cool and cloudy for you and you're not able to get things done as you'd planned, the Castleton Soy Crush Plant, ND Soy Processors, has an open house later today. They did their ribbon cutting this morning at 10:30, but later today at 5 o'clock, they are doing public open houses. You are welcome to swing by and check out the facility, see what it's going to look like. This is a state-of-the-art facility equipped to handle 125,000 bushels per day, which will process just over 42 million bushels throughout the growing season, well, throughout the season. And they're looking to start bringing in their very first loads of soybeans. So welcome to opening day for North Dakota Soy Processors.
Nice. And we've got a guest on our show. She's been on before, has she not?
No, she has not.
She hasn't?
Nope.
Okay, the name looks familiar. She has not. I thought she has been on before.
No, we will have a guest on later today. That will be Loren Venick. Loren is joining us from Ontario. She is with the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance. She and I do some projects together off air, you might say. But additionally, she just has a great desire to help when it comes to rural areas, mental health, especially a focus on farmers. And we'll talk about some of the things that she and I have been doing, and then just simply what's going on in the industry as of today. There's plenty of stress and strain on everybody. So we'll share some of those things as well.
Is it higher in the ag community, Bridget, than it is in just the general population, do you think?
Rural areas, particularly farmers, are twice as high for suicide rates than anywhere else in the general population. And anxiety, depression, those statistics show that it's probably about 3 to 1, the amount of farmers and those in rural areas who suffer from anxiety, depression, and other things versus what happens in the larger cities. Remember, you are mostly detached from the availability of help when you need it. And so so that's one thing. There's a barrier to receiving help, but also you have folks that simply feel that they are resilient enough to take care of it themselves, and they will take care of their farm, their crop, their livestock, etc., first and foremost before they ever want to seek help for themselves.
Hmm. That's because they're so tough, or they, you know.
Can be.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, absolutely.
And stubborn.
Yep. And there's a little bit of stubborn out there. I can't imagine who that could encompass.
Right.
Here's something, though, along the lines of health, but it's not focusing on the mental health. All right. We know that there is a tick allergy out there. The Lone Star tick, if you are bitten by it, it can give you a red meat allergy. That's because it has what's called the alpha-gal sugar syndrome. Okay, this alpha-gal is the sugar that's present in the tissues of nearly all mammals. So think about beef, pork, other red meats, even found in milk and gelatin. If you're bitten by the tick, you now could have a reaction, especially within hours, of consuming one of those products. For folks that suffer from that and would like to consume red meat, there is a way. There is a company out there, and their name is Revacor, and they have gal-safe pigs. And the reason they have them is these pigs are genetically modified for organ transplant to humans. So what they do is they literally delete or turn off through gene editing the alpha-gal syndrome marker genetically, so the pigs don't have it, because that alpha gal is what causes a lot of rejection if you're trying to put organs from a pig into a human. So if you can turn that off, you can now use the organs in a human transplant, but then also that means that those hogs could be consumed by those who have bitten by the Lone Star tick. This has won Food and Drug Administration approval back in 2020 as a source of food, and it's a potential source for human therapeutics. The FDA determined there was no detectable level of alpha-gal across multiple generations of the hogs. Revacor is continuing to do their research. They are not a food company, so they're actually working with someone to try to bring this type of meat product to the store shelves for those who might need it. Right now, they are just donating that meat to those who have the allergy. So, interesting concept, right? That's something that causes rejection. If they can remove it due to gene editing, that can not only work in favor of those who need transplants, but so much more.
Wow. Interesting.
Huh. I didn't think that was one that you guys had come across.
Jeez, stay away from that tick. That's for sure.
Yeah. Do you happen to know how many people have been affected by that disease so far that's spread from that tick? I don't know if you have a statistic on that or not.
I don't have a statistic, but the number increases annually. That tick is prevalent on the eastern coast states as well as the southeast. So folks who from this area who have visited, say, Virginia or West Virginia and have been bitten have brought it back. So I have a friend who lives in South Dakota. She has this particular allergy and thinks that happened while she was traveling on the east coast. So it's not something that's easily transmitted here because we don't see that Lone Star tick, but those things can also change. We see pests move all the time from one area to another.
Right. And your friend down in South Dakota, how does that affect her? If she eats, like, what's her reaction if she eats like a red meat or a hamburger or something? How does that affect her body?
Rash, swelling of the joints, and she's concerned about potential tough to breathe.
Hmm.
So those are pretty.
And is it kind of the
pretty,
same thing, or is there,
severe?
Yeah, are the reactions the same for everybody, or is it a little different for each person?
I think it might be different for each person, but all of us react differently to our allergies. Some affect us more than others. There are those who've said they've had that Lone Star tick allergy, or excuse me, the alpha gal allergy, but they've recovered from it over time. There's others who've always had it. So this friend in South Dakota, she relies a lot more on wild game, deer, elk, etc., as her protein source versus, again, beef, even pork products here that the rest of us would normally be consuming.
Huh. That's kind of interesting that you can flip-flop like that. Is it just, like you said, that gene not in wild animal?
It sounds like it. It's found in most mammals, but or at least in her situation, she's found that it has not affected her when it comes to deer or elk. Good thing she was a hunter to begin with. And a lot of fish.
Yeah, no kidding.
She consumes a lot of fish, so that helps tremendously.
Yeah, I don't eat a whole lot of red meat. I used to a lot more when it was more cost effective, I guess you could say. It wasn't as expensive, but we've kind of cut back on a lot of the red meat that we consume. So I don't think it would affect me too terribly much outside of the occasional steak that we cook up. I mean, we eat a fair amount of burgers still, but how do you think that would affect you guys if you came down with that?
I think that's a great question. And personally speaking, I still have a fair amount of beef in my diet. Again, I'm also fortunate to have access to beef through a family farm. When I look at it, that would create some big changes in my meal planning. I would definitely have to move to more fish than what we already see. I don't necessarily have as much pork, but definitely beef.
I'd lose weight. I know that.
Maybe.
Do you eat a lot of red meat, Dean? Because I always see you with chicken.
Well, it's either chicken or steak. It all depends on what's on sale. I would probably it would change to chicken and fish. But you know what? That gets so bland after a while. I mean, you need a little. I don't know. I'm a red meat guy. I've got to have some kind of red meat in a daily diet or weekly diet, I should say.
Think of it this way. Oftentimes when we say, well, I would lose weight if I changed the protein source, it might not be your protein source, especially if you're having lean meats. It can be what you're adding to it. You know, if we're doing a lot of cream sauces with, more sugar,
right?
Just a lot of the additives that we add to the food makes a difference. I mean, personally, for lunch today, I was really thinking like bologna sandwich and mac and cheese.
It could be
that doesn't sound like anything healthy, does it?
It could be sandwich? The five beers I'm having with it too. That might, That might be some.
But I also made a delightful chocolate zucchini cake last night, and I wasn't turning that part down either.
You better be bringing some of that in Thursday.
Potentially, but I can't guarantee it yet.
Okay, it might not be left. There might not be anything left.
I should have made a bigger pan.
You keep that all to yourself, Bridget. You deserve it.
Thanks. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We will have with us next our guest. Again, that is Loren Van Eck. Loren is with the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance. She joins us from Ontario, and we want to visit with her and so much more after this. And welcome back to Weathered Egg and Focus. Thank you for joining us. All right. So many great things going on and great people that get involved here in agriculture. Just a couple of them would include our sponsors for Here We Grow, ND Estate Services. In fact, Mark will be on with us next week talking about transition planning and what's going on in farm situations and so much more. How can you avoid problems with probate? Well, Mark can help you with that. Red Wing Shoes. Teresa and the gang at Main Avenue's Red Wing Shoes does a fantastic job. I like mine and plan on wearing them later today at the North Dakota Soy Processors Open House. Fingers crossed, I think I'm going to be able to attend that. And she just gets us outfitted for the field every time we need to go. Today, we have with us a guest that you may want to call in and ask some questions. I think we all will have many. And our guest is Loren Van Eck. And Loren, I realize you and I talk and I never say your last name, so I think I got it right. I hope so anyway.
Hey, Bridget. Hey, everyone. You know, it's a little bit up for grabs how you say my last name. I always argue I married into it. So I'm innocent. My maiden name was Parr. It was super easy. but technically, Ren Van Uyck is how we pronounce it. But
well, is that have anything to do with the fact that you raise sheep?
Could be. We could use that certainly for an argument. We do raise sheep. Love that. We do raise sheep, and so that certainly makes a little bit of sense for sure.
Okay, so fill us in. I mean, I know your background as far as raising sheep, raising kids, and so much more. Give us a little bit of background, and then lead us into the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance.
Sure. Awesome. So I grew up in southwestern Ontario. My husband and I bought our first farm in 2006. I grew up on a small sheep farm, and he grew up in Prince Edward Island, which is on the complete end of Canada, a tiny little island, but is rich in potato production. And so his family grew up in potatoes. And we raise sheep. And you're right, we raise kids too. We are foster parents, and we are what's called treatment foster parents, meaning we have some kids from hard places. They're kids who have had some tough stuff in life. And so we have the absolute privilege of being called mom and dad to kids who weren't born to our family. But I'm also an Oma now. And so I have a couple grandbabies, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Guelph. I'm doing a study on the impact on women's mental health post disruption. Hopefully we'll get a chance to kind of delve into that, because we experience disruption in our rural communities on the farm. And so that disruption impacts how we do.
Okay. Because, you've got, I was going to say, you have so much free time. Don't miss anything. Keep this going.
Oh, I forgot. We own a bakery too. We own an on-farm bakery. It's how we kind of have a value added product. So a lot of the products that we grow, like the peaches and the blueberries and let me see what's going this week. A lot of the herbs, the jalapenos, we make a jalapeno cheddar bread. Oh. And we have a farm store, and then we also take it to the local farmers markets, which is an awesome opportunity to really connect the producer to the consumer, which is so important. So yeah, that's the other piece. The last piece is the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance, and I have the privilege of being the CEO. Myself and a couple other social workers got together early on in 2022, and we formed an organization. And so we work with therapists all across Canada and the U.S., helping them learn the skills to work with farmers, because we're a bit of a unique breed. And we have some unique needs and unique challenges. And so it's really important that therapists know how to work well with our ag communities. There you go.
Okay, let's that just summarizes. Right there. Yes. Let's start with that. When you talk about helping other therapists understand farming, why? Mm-hmm. We're a unique breed, there's no doubt. But what are some of the aha moments you've had with those other social workers where they were trying to work with a rural patient and it just wasn't going well?
Unfortunately, it happens far too often. So one of the early on when I was working with farmers, I had a farmer contact me. And he was really reluctant to access counseling. He said he had tried it already and it wasn't helpful. And I was like, oh, tell me about that. What made it unhelpful? And he said, well, I lost our fifth generation farm. And at that point, he was near tears because such a grief, such a loss. And the therapist, and I believe she had good intentions. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but she said, what's the big deal? Save up some money and buy another farm. And so there's just such a disconnect sometimes between the experiences in ag and the knowledge about agriculture. So it means for our farmers when they do finally access services. And I think, I'm not sure if it was Dean that mentioned it, but, said, we're kind of a hard lot. Like we can be kind of stubborn. We're not quick to ask for help. And so when that happens and a farmer does access support, all research has pointed towards the fact that we need to ensure that the help they receive is really kind of almost culturally relevant. Otherwise, what happens is farmers spend the entire session educating the therapist about what they do. And it's expensive if you're paying somebody else to teach them.
Right.
Right.
And Lauren,
so that's why it's so important.
Is there a certain part either of the country or a certain region or a certain part of ag that suffers more than another part from mental health?
Actually, there is. And what we found post the pandemic, rural women experienced the greatest decline. And it's interesting because a lot of, you know, researchers would say, oh, well, that was because they had to homeschool their kids. And I would be like, I'm like, no, that's not the reason. When the input costs are up and you're not getting the money you need, like the price of lamb dropped. It wasn't great. And of course, as you know, we were spending thousands of dollars more on fertilizer and grains and things like that. And so women are actually kind of their spouse's sole support. And this goes along with more of a traditional view. So I recognize that might not be reflective of everybody, but for the vast majority, what we find is women are their spouse's sole support. And so if that, you know, fella isn't accessing any kind of support themselves, then women hold it. And I think of a client that I had whose spouse was really experiencing some significant distress. And yet he was like, don't tell anybody. And so she held it. She lived with the trauma and the fear and the chronic stress of it. And couldn't tell the brother, couldn't tell the parents, couldn't tell anybody. And so we certainly have seen women bear, you know, the brunt. The other group would be individuals who are entering agriculture. So the younger farmers, like kind of under 45, that group. Remember, the average age of a farmer is about 57, 58 years of age. And so that group is holding a lot of debt. And there's a lack of understanding, you know, in some of the areas of the reality of how challenging, how isolating agriculture can be right now. They're also juggling the responsibilities of off-farm work. Over 60% of farmers work off the farm, responsibilities with children. And so that group is experiencing some distress as well.
Very interesting. And I know we got a lot more questions coming up here, Lauren, and I know some of our listeners might as well. And if anyone wants to call in and ask some of those questions, feel free to do so. Give us a call on the Red Wing Shoe Shoe line. That's 701-293-9000. We'll get caught up with bottom of the hour local news. When we come back, we'll be talking more about the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance. We'll get our questions answered and yours when we come back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us. It's so good to have you here this afternoon, especially with our guest today. And that is Lauren Van Uyck, just like I remembered with sheep. And she is CEO of National Farmers Mental Health Alliance out of Ontario. And Lauren, when Dean and I were talking about you in our first segment, he asked about the statistics that go on between rural and urban areas, the higher level of suicide rates within the rural community. I'm not sure I got those right just off the top of my head. Can you share some of those stats, especially between the U.S. and Canada as well?
Yeah, sure. The U.S. actually has a higher incidence of suicide among farmers. And for those of you who are listening, you know, if that's you, I invite you to call 911. If you can't keep yourself safe, visit the closest hospital. Like, your story is precious. You are worth it. And as hard as it is, I would invite you to reach out. But statistically speaking, in the U.S. for farmers, it's 4 to 6 times more higher than the general population. In Canada, it's 2+ times the higher than the general population. Kids are 4 to 6 times more likely to die by suicide from rural areas. In fact, it's gotten to the place where, by and large, you know, it's agreed upon that living in a rural space is actually a determinant of health. We have less access to health care. We have more barriers, more chronic illness. When we are admitted for mental health, we're more likely to be released quicker, more likely to have more readmission rates, particularly in teens and in young people. So the statistics support the need for more attention to wellness in our rural communities, for sure. When you talked about
No,
when you talked about
you keep going.
Sure. The depression and anxiety rate is higher. It's something like 76% of farmers are experiencing a form of anxiety right now. It's really, really very high. So significantly higher than the general population.
Those are alarming statistics right now. You and I are very similar in age. We remember what the 1980s were like in a farming population. We were kids and we probably didn't realize how bad it was just because it was bad for everybody, but we didn't know any better. We didn't have the words to describe the way we would talk about it now. And one of the things that I would ask about is accidents. There are farm accidents that happen, but they're not always accidents. And do you see an uptick in any of that in not only suicide rates, but in farm accidents that weren't necessarily accidents when we see this type of stress and anxiety increasing in our farm communities?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's true. It's really hard to get the statistics. By and large, mental health has not been well researched in our agriculture communities. So it's very difficult to get the significant statistics. What you'll hear when you talk to people is like, well, you know, we kind of wondered if when it comes to the accidents. But I mean, farmers have access to large machinery that can really be lethal. And so certainly it's a concern. And we do see a correlation between farm accidents and fatigue and exhaustion. And that's something we see in agriculture. When we talk about resilience, right? Resilience, for some people, they would say it's your ability to bounce back. I don't really think that's a great definition, but our ability to kind of go on despite difficulty. And farmers, according to some researchers, have tested and said they're very low on the resilience scale. They don't have very many resilience skills. I don't think that's true at all. I think the truth is farmers have had to be resilient for so long, we're tired. And when we're tired, farm accidents are more likely to happen. So the correlation of the research between the two is kind of difficult to really pinpoint. But it's certainly something to be aware of and concerned and proactive in.
As you think about these statistics that are out there, and we have folks, especially like right here, the Fargo-Moorhead area, folks move into their smaller communities and they want to be a part of their local ambulance squads and fire departments, but they might not be familiar with some of the farm background as well. And that can include physical emergencies as well as mental health emergencies. How can you and your training that's going on with the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance help those folks in order to help serve the public better?
So the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance, we actually operate under four principles. So one of them is to train therapists. One of them is to work directly with farmers and first responders, because we work with an organization called Three Oaks Respite Cabin, who provide respite for first responders. And actually, Bridget, you've met Diane. But the other thing we do is we work with stakeholders in agriculture. So with companies, Pioneer Seeds or Syngenta or all of those different groups, to kind of teach their first responders, right? Like my feed guy is my first responder. He'd be the first one to tell if I was struggling. Or my vet is the first person who would be like, okay, whoa, Lorraine, your husbandry practices have kind of dipped. Like, is there something going on? And so our goal is to equip those people with the right words and the right skills in order to be able to kind of help in that very entry level. Especially because farmers, as was mentioned, you know, we're kind of reluctant to seeking out help. We kind of think we have to have it all together. We're really kind of competitive in nature. And so did my beans emerge first? How's my emergence rate? You know, all of those pieces. And so because of it, we kind of take a step back from seeking out support in this area, not lots of other areas, but in this area we do.
Lauren, I got a question for you. I was wondering, what are some of the signs to look for to kind of notice if somebody might not be okay? Because, I mean, a lot of the times when people do commit suicide, it comes out of nowhere, and some people had no idea that something was affecting them to this degree. And then on top of that as well, how do you start that conversation of talking to somebody about these kind of issues? Because you can't just go up to someone and be like, hey, are you depressed? And you're going to sit down and have a conversation about it. What are some of the signs to look for, and how do you start that conversation with somebody?
Great question. One of the things when we talk about signs, it's really helpful if we kind of put them into different categories. So the first one would be emotional signs. And when we see that emotional dysregulation, I often tell the story of, you know, this lady, I was a young mom. My kids were, you know, I was with my kids all the time. So grocery shopping was like my mini vacation every week. My husband was home with the kids. I got to go on my own and I got to spend money without being, you know, I wasn't concerned about it. It's like, this is for groceries. And so I was sailing along one day and I turned the corner on an aisle and this lady went, ah! And she stuck out her arm and she ran down the line and then fell on the floor and was weeping. I was young. I was a 21-year-old mom and I backed out of the aisle, but that mom very clearly was in distress, right? She was having a moment. Or maybe more than a moment. I don't know exactly what was going on. But, right? Like those kind of emotional, when we're angry quickly, when we don't have that same ability to process conversations and to talk about things. And, you know, we're crying more frequently. Now, crying is actually a really good way to get rid of stress. So if you are going to cry, have a good old-fashioned ball-out session where the goobers are flying everywhere. But, you know, if it's happening all the time and you aren't able to stabilize your emotions and have some kind of control a little bit, that would be an indication that somebody is in need of some support. Another one would be behavioral changes. So behavioral changes looks like, you know, every Friday I used to go to Coffee Row and now I don't go, right? Or I really used to always participate in every auction. I'd go to every, I mean, in our area, auctions are like the social gathering of the week and they're fantastic and super fun. But, you know, and Johnny used to come every week and now Johnny's not coming anymore. And so those are more behavioral changes. We see it in our husbandry practices, right? If those have slipped, if our own caring for ourselves, you know, have slipped, those would be behavioral kind of indications that we need support. The last one would be if somebody says something to the effect of, you know, I think this world would be okay without me. Like if there's indication of someone saying that this world's not, you know, for me, or I want to die, for lack of a better term. And one of the more common, you know, is to unalive yourself. That's actually a more common term for young people. So for those of you who have kids and teens, to unalive yourself means to die by suicide. So those are kind of some of the signs and symptoms that we see most often in farmers. Your second question was, how do we start the conversation? That is a phenomenal question because it's what stops us from starting those conversations, is not knowing how. Sometimes we think we have to go into these deep, dark things. And for those of you who are wondering about counseling, we don't just start talking about your deepest, darkest, hardest stuff. It's like, what do you need right now? Like, what's the problem right now that we need to focus on? Because we don't all have to dive into, you know, the hard stuff. We don't have to start there. But to start a conversation, I always encourage curiosity. Sorry.
No, Lauren, our producer just piped in and he said that, Sudoku is another term that Sudoku? Is that Addison? Which one was it?
Yeah. So the Sudoku, because I'm chronically online, I see a lot of people say this. They will use that as a different word for suicide as well. So instead of saying they're going to go commit suicide, they'll say, I'm going to go commit Sudoku now. To get around different censors that different websites have, because you can't normally, if you That's say right. that, somewhere you're going to get censored or the post will get It'll deleted get or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's also another reason why I'm pretty hesitant with some of the, you know, just call in and chat kind of things. Like we still need some face-to-face connection with people. So yeah, that's right. There's some other acronyms as well. So, you know, it's important to be aware of our language that way. But when we start the conversation with people, I encourage curiosity. Just get curious. Be like, help me understand what's going on. Right? When I have a farmer who says, yeah, my beans are underwater right now. Okay, well, that's an indication things aren't great. Right? Like that's an indication that there's been a little too much water in our area. And so help me understand what that means. Right? Help me understand what's going on. Tell me about.
So as we near the end of our time to visit with Loren today, I just have made a lot of notes of things that I think we're going to have to talk about again in the future, because the anxiety, the depression, and the suicides within our rural communities are not slowing down. Not everything ends in a suicide, but unfortunately, yesterday morning, I woke up to messages about a 39-year-old farmer in Missouri who died because of a shotgun blast. And that happens too often. Loren and I have made it our mission to try to curb those and let people know how important they are and that there is help out there. She and I will actually be having a podcast coming out later this fall where we're going to talk about that. And in the meantime, Loren, how can people find you and the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance when they want to reach out for themselves and for others? Because I know how much you want to be a part of the solution for them.
Thank you, Bridget. You know, our website is www.nfmha.ca. So it's the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance acronym. You can reach out to us. We are happy to engage in conversation. We have therapists in both Canada and the US that would be willing to chat with you. I would also encourage you to talk to somebody, right? Talk to somebody about it. And somebody is better than nobody. So have that conversation. Just dip your toe in. You don't have to throw your whole self into it. Just dip your toe in and start that conversation. And for the rest of us around the dinner table, have the conversation. Check in with one another. Where are you at? If we make it part of our language, if we make it part of our conversations, it's not nearly so shocking when somebody says, actually, life sucks right now. I'm really struggling. And so have those conversations. Start with curiosity and build relationships with one another.
Oh, I love it. Actionable items that we can all listen to. And if you didn't get all of those items as you were trying to write those notes as fast as I was, you can find this interview later on today on our Facebook page, YouTube, and also Acres TV, because I think these are all vital skills that we need to be able to help others and even ourselves. Please don't go anywhere. We will be right back to finish up our headlines and our weather and enjoy the rest of our afternoon. So stay tuned.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:54 in the afternoon. And we've got some more showers and thunderstorms that are popping up on radar here. Some stronger ones around Walcott and just south of, just northeast, I should say, of Colfax. That's moving over the river into areas of Lakes Country eventually here. Also some stronger storms to the east of Lisbon, all this kind of moving east, northeast. Leonard, you've got thunder shower overhead and just south of Leonard as well. And we're seeing more of these develop out to our south and west. So we're going to see a little bit of shower and thunder shower activity through the evening hours, at least late afternoon before things start to dry out after about 6 o'clock tonight. So not expecting a lot of rain, but some of these areas south of the FM area, let's say from Kindred southward, could pick up some brief heavy rain, but the rest of us, tenth of an inch, if that. So not a whole lot expected for the rest of the afternoon.
Well, we ain't getting nothing up here in Grand Forks.
No, you're not going to get anything up north. Well, you might get a sprinkle, but that's about it. Yeah,
that don't count. If it doesn't tip the tipping bucket, it doesn't count.
Justin left out once again. I'm starting to feel for you there, man. Sorry.
It's all right. I took the sprinkler out the other day and gave the garden a good feeding of water for about an hour the other day.
Hey, speaking of a good feeding of water, next week, Wednesday, we are doing lunch for teachers. So we can give them a good feeding. And teachers can join us at our studios from 11 to 2. It is our teacher appreciation. If you are a teacher or a school staff member, come on out and join us at Thunder Road. There will be food trucks with a free lunch, bouncy houses for kids, games, and so much more. So, hey, teachers, especially if school hasn't started for you yet, swing on in. Maybe you're already in Fargo buying supplies. You might want to stop by.
Yes, yes. And hey, I was watching a video earlier today, and funny enough, it was one of our videos. It's our latest Here We Grow episode with Farm Rescue. And I got to say, you guys did a good job on that episode. I highly recommend anyone go out and watch it on Facebook or YouTube. Just search Weather and Ag in Focus and Here We Grow Season 2. I'm actually not sure what episode number it is, but it's the farm rescue episode. And there was a little bit of video in there about balers. And I was like, oh, yeah, balers are cool. I remember doing a bunch of baling and farming simulator. But like a combine, a baler can sometimes catch on fire too, Bridget. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about baler fires.
Oh, so it can. And oftentimes it's not necessarily because you're running a hot material through there, but because you have dry hay or straw that's going into a baler and you have all those moving parts, whether it's belts and or bearings, something can get hot, spark a fire. Maybe it just smolders and you just get out to pull out whatever smoldering so that the whole baler doesn't burn. Well, just remember, you need to shut off those machines because we have plenty of farmers walking around with missing limbs because they did not. Balers can pull you in and they can not only maim you seriously, but lead to fatalities. Baler fires are also pretty commonplace, so make sure you have charged fire extinguishers with you because a baler fire will move quickly, burn the ground around you, take down the baler, and likely the tractor that it's attached to. I mean, if you see a baler that's burned up by itself, it means someone was quick enough to get the hydraulics pulled off and pull the pin to drive away so that they didn't, and oh, they got to get the PTO off as well in order to get away from that baler and not burn up a tractor. But this time of year, they are common. Be careful. Keep an eye out for what's going on in the fields when you're there.
Yes, and I know we touched on what's going on right now. Did we hit the rest of the week weather at all?
Did we?
Dan?
I don't think we did.
Maybe. I don't think we did either. Maybe. Why don't we hit that real quick?
Maybe we ought to do that. We're looking at just a few scattered showers, thunder showers for the rest of the afternoon. Some heavier rainfall possible just to the south of the FM area. Most of the precip for the rest of the day is along and south of 94. Highs today, close to 70. We'll be in the 60s most of the day with a breeze out of the south-southwest. And then tonight, we'll dry things out, partly cloudy down to the low to mid-50s with a northwest wind 10 to 15. Blustery chilly tomorrow. It's going to feel like October, early October. Northwest winds 15 to 30. Highs in the low to mid 60s, maybe a sprinkle or two in the afternoon. Then Friday, a little more sun, 70. Weekend looks great. 75 on Saturday, 80 on Sunday. By the end of next week, we will be back into those summer 80s and maybe even close to 90 as we head towards mid-month. So if you like the warmer weather, it's heading our way. Is that good enough for you? Justin?
It's great, Dean.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right. Want to thank
everybody. We're out of here.
Yeah, we're out of here. Jay Thomas Show. It's coming up next.